Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Empowering Family Caregivers, a radio show for family caregivers and professionals in the field of aging. I'm your host, John Mills. I'm substituting today for my wife, Susan Bida. Susan and I are the co-founders of eCareDiary.com, a website for family caregivers and seniors. We are very excited about our guest today, Lori Orloff. She is the founder of Age-in-Place Technology Watch, a market research firm that provides thought leadership, analysis, and guidance about technologies and related services that enable seniors and boomers to remain in their homes longer. Lori has spent 30 years in the technology industry, including 24 years in IT and 9 years as a leading industry analyst at Forrester Research, one of the leading market research companies in the country. She is also a judge in the 2010 Silicon Valley Boomer Venture Summit, and Lori is a featured blogger on a number of caregiver and technology websites. Welcome to the show, Lori. It is a pleasure to have you.
Thanks very much, John. Appreciate being here.
It's great to have you. You have developed an outstanding reputation as really the go-to person when it comes to aging technology trends. Please tell us how you arrived in this field.
Well, as you noted in your introduction, I spent 24 years in IT, and then I spent 9 years at Forrester Research. After that, I left Forrester in 2007. During the period of time while I was working for Forrester, I was also a primary caregiver for my mother, who passed away from Alzheimer's in 2006. And I was, I had my consciousness raised about issues associated with aging in the context of her care. And when I moved to Florida in 2006, I became a volunteer ombudsman for nursing homes and assisted living facilities. And I also enrolled in the University of Florida certification program for geriatric care managers. I wasn't really sure exactly what I was going to do in the context of technology, but while in that program, I did a research project assembling a bibliography of what's been written about technology for aging in place. And it was at that point that I had sort of an aha moment in which I realized that someone needed to really be the industry analyst for this space, that no one had yet really done that, and that it was almost my destiny that I was supposed to do it because of my background as an analyst and my background in the technology field and my interest in aging. So that's how I got there.
Well, your reports and your website are a must-read for anybody who's interested in aging technology trends. And it's interesting. It seems like everybody that I speak to who has become involved in aging issues and caregiving has a similar story where they were either caring for a loved one or a parent. I mean, I got involved because my father suffered from Parkinson's disease, so it's really interesting. We all seem to have found the exact same thing, that this was sort of an area that no one was paying a ton of attention to.
Right.
So can you tell us a little bit about Aging in Place Technology Watch? What is it? What services do you provide? To whom do you provide these services?
Sure. The way I describe it is it's an industry analyst firm, and really modeled in the sort of image of my experiences at Forrester Research. The work of what I do is to track the market, identify new market entrants, analyze trends, and offer synthesis of what's happening in terms of those trends with advice about what to do about it. And that's really the basis of what I'm doing. And it was launched in March of 2009, published the first market overview at that point, prepared and gave my first speech, and took on my first paying client. I should be clear as to what it is not. It's not consumer reports or a testing service of these products. It's more of a market and industry watching firm. It's not a PR agency, and I'm not a journalist per se. My role is to actually understand and triangulate across a whole series of trends and events that are going on in the market and tell people what it means and what is likely to happen. in terms of the services that Aging in Place Technology Watch provides, that includes strategy advice, feedback to boards of directors and investors about the market, review of marketing material, research and brokering of introductions between participants in the market, positioning of new entrants, white papers, and basically what we used to call it at Forrester, it's unlimited access to analyst inquiry, which means the clients of what I'm doing basically have unlimited access to asking me questions and asking me to look into topics and issues that they may have. The services are provided to technology vendors, and startups as well as big companies, nonprofit senior housing organizations, AARP is a client, and large vendors like Philips are all clients of this industry analyst work.
Well, you post quite a few on your website. You post quite a few reports, and they're terrific, and we read them regularly. One of the reports I wanted to talk about is you discuss about the trend on caregivers and the fact that there are going to be basically the number of caregivers is going to stay flat, while just as the baby boomers get to the point that they need care, there's going to be this massive explosion. It's actually really reading that was just eye-opening and somewhat scary considering the demographic trends. But one of the things that you discuss is technology can help fill that gap. So can you talk a little bit exactly how it can help fill that gap?
Well, there's certainly been a lot of press over the past year or two about robots, but I don't think we have any particularly near-term benefit from them. You know, they're very expensive and not yet tailored, I think, to really provide the assistance we need. But there's a lot of research being done on it and a lot of interesting work, especially in Japan. And I particularly am interested in research around what's happened with something called hybrid assisted limbs, or HAL, which can help people lift them from a seated position and get them to sort of walk with the assistance of the robot, or PARO, the therapeutic robotic feel that can provide some comfort and feel compelling, really, to people with dementia. But in general, robots, I think we're not quite there yet. A lot of work going on in that area. What is near term are sensor-based monitoring technologies. There's technology out today that will inquire as to whether you've taken your meds, technology that will tell whether you've gone into the bathroom but not come out. Did you go near the refrigerator? Did you go outside? That technology exists today and is in the market. There's also wearable tracking technology, GPS location for wanderers, fall detection. These are technologies that are available now, and I believe in the next few years will become ubiquitous. They're essentially base technologies that can be bundled into other products. Web-based cameras, actually, I think this is the real potential for closing that gap between the caregivers and those who the numbers of people aging and the numbers of people who are available to care for them. And what we're going to have to see happen here is we're going to have to walk a fine line between security systems and elder care. And a lot of people worry about the privacy issues associated with the use of web cameras, but I believe their use will be more accepted in coming years and that they will be refined to be built around the idea of exception-based video alerts. That is, what has just happened in the home that is outside the normal expected pattern, and they therefore can be used to alert people that there may be a problem. Also, with the growth of the home care industry, we're going to be wanting to see whether the home care aide has arrived, whether that person has departed, how long were they there, what activities were done. Relatively speaking, the technology used in the home care industry today is pretty much telephone-based, and I believe over time it's going to increasingly become camera-based. And security vendors, I know, today see the opportunity, and they're forming spin-offs to capitalize on the aging opportunity and help close the monitoring gap that's so apparent in that report.
It's interesting you raise the fact that home care agencies are so telephone-based, because my father was fiercely independent, and he was able to basically stay in his he lived in an apartment in New York City, but he was able to stay in that apartment till the end of his life. But if some of this technology that you talked about would have made it a lot easier for us. I mean, we basically did it through home care aides and through sort of family and friends looking out for him, but it really would have made it much, much easier to keep him there and much safer for him because he did have falls when there weren't people around early on, things along those lines. So it's very encouraging.
Yep, I agree. I think we're still at a fairly early stage, but I think there's a lot of encouragement here.
We're talking a little bit about the progress that's happening on in the aging industry. How do you think that compares to sort of the rest of both the healthcare industry and sort of the technology industry in general? Do you think that aging is behind where we are in other parts of the healthcare field?
Well, you know, when I was at Forrester, we always actually were told that the healthcare industry was 10 years behind the rest of industry in terms of its use of technology. And I guess I would say that technology to support aging is somewhat behind the healthcare industry. I think it's really just getting started. So I equate it to really e-commerce in 1999. For those who've been in the technology industry, you know that in 1999 with e-commerce technologies, the products were not yet integrated into solutions, and the pricing was all over the map, and there were many small vendors who were entrants, and adoption was a slow process in terms of having people believe that they could actually buy things online without paper transactions. And you can see what's happened since then. It's become absolutely assumed that we would have e-commerce technologies, and that, in fact, the world of using paper to buy products from companies is pretty much going the way of the dodo bird. So I think that's really what's happening in this industry. We also have products that are not yet integrated into solutions. The integrators and manufacturers are generally small businesses, with GE and Intel and Philips being somewhat exceptions to that, although folks who work there will tell you that these are relatively small departments in big companies that are focused on aging. Pricing is today all over the place. Some products have activation fees, some don't. Some cost thousands of dollars, some cost hundreds of dollars. Some are supported by advertising and some are not. So I think that's where we are. We're in an evolutionary stage. Worse, I think, at this point in terms of the technology is the very first thing you really need with technologies that are going to help people in situations like this is you need channels of distribution. That is, you need to know who is going to offer these technologies and how, if they require any form of installation into the home or any use in the home, how are they going to be how is that installation going to be done? Because in the end, if there's a device involved and it's going to go into the home, it's a local issue, not so much a national-type product issue. And so the question is, will direct-to-consumer marketing be the way to get people's attention, coupled with distributor sales or dealer sales? What is required in terms of price point and access to media in order to make that happen? I think that's an indicator about the level of evolution of the market. I also worry a lot about monitoring devices that are not connected to any services. There are quite a few of those out there that they just call family or they just call 911, and I would like to see devices in general connected to some form of service that can respond in the event that family is not available. I also think calls to 911 on a regular basis for our product strategies, I think that's going to create a problem in police departments, especially if there's false alarms.
When you that's a really, really good point, and something I actually hadn't thought about, but it's a really good point. I'd like to follow up on that. When you say services, are you talking home care agencies, physicians, a combination of all of those?
Well, there's a whole, I refer to it as the senior value chain. There's a whole chain of possible services that could respond. It could be, in fact, a central department in a senior housing organization. It could be a geriatric care management service. It could be social services. It could be a doctor's office. But bottom line is someone needs to respond. Now, it could also be a subscription service to a telephone response or call center that is essentially engaged by the technology vendor to answer the calls, determine the degree of urgency about the call, and appropriately route it to wherever it's supposed to be routed, which could be to a doctor's office. It could be, in that case, to 911. It could be to one of a series of family members who are in a hierarchy of responders. I just want devices in general to be connected to some kind of responder service that is probably subscribed to versus a product that is just sold, shipped, and it's best available response
yeah.
when used.
It's interesting you raise that because my father had one of those, I forget which one it was, but one of the help you I've fallen, I can't get up
yep.
devices. And you know those basically would go to 911, and most of the time he didn't really need that, but that was sort of the default. So I think you know, what you're talking about is really a tremendously good idea and really necessary. We're talking a little bit about the market here, and I was wondering if you could talk about sort of the market categories around technologies for aging in place and how it relates to family caregivers.
Well, I believe the market is in sort of four categories. One is technology for communication and engaging people, and that can be engaging seniors with caregivers, seniors with other seniors. It could be seniors with professional providers, but bottom line is technologies for communication and engagement. And one of the ones that gets certainly all kinds of discussion these days would be some kind of computer with Skype for video communication, but that also would include cell phones and any form of computing device, including iPads and iPhones and so that's communication engagement. The second category is really around safety and security, and that would include the ability to ensure that a person's safe at home, including remote monitoring, personal emergency response devices, alarm systems. I think all are basic in the category of home safety and security. Then health and wellness, which includes chronic disease management. It includes technology that would include devices, in fact, for monitoring chronic conditions. It could also include websites and portals and online environments for both learning about health. It could also include technologies for communicating with doctors and remote health care, which I think is actually going to become increasingly important in the next few years. That could also include medication dispensing and medication reminders, really everything involved in keeping a person healthy. And the last category is contribution and learning, which to me encompasses websites and technologies that help people to continue to stay engaged in society, and that would include online learning environments, telephone-based learning environments, of which there are several around the country. It also includes the ability to find volunteer opportunities and the ability to keep working, which I believe the typical retirement age of 65, and then it's off to leisure living. I don't think that actually is realistic anymore. I think that's going to become obsolete, and I think we are going to want to work somewhat part-time, temporarily, maybe even full-time, well past that age. And there's, in fact, some studies that talk about the fact that the ability to keep on working at something is correlated with well-being. So those are the categories. One more thing about that is I believe the categories of technologies are persistent. That is, these four categories will be the categories, over a long period of time, the products and individual technologies that fit into these categories are changing all the time.
Okay. No, that makes total sense. And you know, I actually wanted to chime in on the whole retirement age issue. There have been a lot of articles, I'm sure you've seen them recently, about how, unfortunately, the economic problems we've had and the meltdown a couple of years ago have caused a lot of people to push off their retirement ages, 3 to 5 years, so it looks like 70 is becoming the new 65 for retirement, from what
right.
I've been reading.
Yeah, and I think life expectancy is lengthening, and I also think the fact that work engages people mentally, ideally engages people and keeps them sharp. I think retirement, as it's traditionally been described, is overrated, and I look forward, as I believe many of the folks that I know in this industry, I think we all look forward to working past the age of 65, if we can, if we're able.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked a little bit about your reports earlier, and we discussed the fact that small companies really, up to this point, dominated the technologies for aging in place, with the exception of GE and Philips and Intel. But as you noted, those are they have very small pieces of their business. You've said you expect consolidation in this industry. How do you see this occurring?
Well, the first thing that will happen is big companies buy smaller companies, and we know that GE, for example, bought QuietCare from Living Independently Group, and Philips a couple years back bought Lifeline. I believe so one way is through acquisition of the large players, acquiring the small players, and certainly the GE-Intel alliance into a joint venture company, that's actually, I think, bodes really well for small companies, because the combined two companies right now have only a few products, three products really, that are in the aging and technology space. So I believe they're going to have to acquire more products, and so that's one thing. I think the other thing is the companies find each other and decide that they have complementary capabilities, and they combine resources into a single company, and I think that's the other way that consolidation is going to occur. Consolidation is another word also for shakeout. And so those small companies that cannot acquire customers successfully, that can't gain additional funding from their whoever has been funding them, they shake out and disappear, and the market then consolidates into fewer players. That's what I believe is going to happen over the next probably 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think you'll see. I think we've discussed this. I worked in the e-health space back around 99 and 2000, so you were talking about e-commerce, but the same thing was very true in the e-health space as well, and you saw a lot of that, with WebMD really kind of emerging as the as the big player, but there were quite a few other, smaller players that merged with each other and, really worked out the way you just described.
Yep.
What are your feelings about, so we're talking a lot about technology, so what are your feelings about online technologies to help family caregivers? Are you finding that the families are receptive to these new technologies, or are you finding resistance?
Well,
what do you see happening there?
Yeah, family is kind of a loose term. Certainly, if you divide people into generations, we know that boomers are pretty technology savvy, and of course, boomers' children and grandchildren are even more technology savvy than the boomers. So I think folks are receptive. I do think it all depends on awareness, which is probably one of the key things. One of the biggest issues in this industry is really how to generate awareness among families that, in fact, they could use technology. But I think that there's a lot of press lately, and that problem will change. I think the technologies to help caregivers are essential. Who cares the most about how a senior is doing would be the family members, and so I think they're very open and willing to use technologies that are easy to use, technologies that are affordable, which is, of course, varies over time as to what people think is affordable, but that are affordable. I think technologies for caregiving enable you to really set up baseline expectations. What is a person's baseline? What is a standard pattern in their life? What is an exception to that pattern? What are the frequency? What is the tolerance for frequency of communication? What is the willingness of a senior, for example, to participate in the use of a technology? And how do we manage expectations? I mean, we can stay as connected in the family caregiving world as is tolerated, really, by all participants, just the way we stay connected with text messaging with kids today. I mean, this is really, becoming ubiquitous, and I think caregiving technologies and family participation in them are also in the process of becoming ubiquitous. A whole series of companies have emerged in the past couple of years to meet the needs of family caregiving, and I think more will be emerging. There was a great report that came out in 2009 called Caregiving in the U.S., and there was a variant of the analysis of the data that looked at caregiving in the U.S. for people over the age of 50. And what it said in that report was one in four caregivers already acknowledged at that point that they were using the Internet to gain information about what to do in their caregiving situation. And 23% of the folks interviewed reported that they were using some form of electronic organizer. That wasn't defined specifically as to what an electronic organizer might be, but that could be an online system. It could be a device. But they were using something and to help them get organized in their caregiving circumstances. And in particular, it was noted the percentage increased as the, quote, burden of care grew, unquote, and the burden of care being people with more serious conditions that required coordinating really more aspects of care. So I think these systems are going to either be standalone or they're going to be applications that are developed as part of device-based systems. And it's particularly important to note here that families are not always co-located, that one in two, I believe, baby boomers has an aging parent. And as life expectancy lengthens, and we know that over a certain age, there's at least two chronic diseases. I believe it's over the age of 65. There's two or more chronic diseases. So we know that there's, in fact, reason to have caregiving systems, and we know that families are not always co-located, especially with a senior. And so we need these systems, and I think folks will use them.
Well, I actually moved back to New York to deal with my father, was diagnosed with Parkinson's, so I understand the not being co-located and the distance caregiving issue. I was fortunate to be in that position. Most people can't or aren't in a position to do that. We talked a little bit about healthcare professionals, but how receptive do you see them being? We all know that the healthcare field is way behind in terms of using technology, but do you see them being receptive to these technological changes, or do you think there's going to be a lot of resistance as all these new technologies come online?
Well, I think we have to be really careful about what information is we are attempting to share with healthcare professionals. I believe that loading them up with constant feeding of information about status of people in their care is going to just overwhelm them. I think that's part of the reason they have no particular interest. I think there's the reimbursement issues associated with in the healthcare industry with the use of technologies, and I think until all that gets straightened out, you're not necessarily going to see as widespread adoption as you might. But on the other hand, we've got the healthcare legislation that passed recently, and we got mandates for electronic medical records, and so the very large cargo ship is in the process of turning. And so I think there's going to be quite a bit more use. I read a statistic the other day that said 40% of doctors today actually are willing to use email in conjunction with the care of their patients. So that's a good sign.
Yeah,
it's progress.
That's a big step in the right direction.
It is.
I agree with you. With all the money that's going to go coming in to do electronic medical records and other technological advances in the healthcare field, I think they're going to reach a tipping point where at some point they're just going to have to get on board.
Exactly.
Well, Lori, we're out of time here, but thank you very much for joining us. This has been a terrific show and extremely informative.
I appreciate you having me on the show.
Sure, hopefully we'll have you back again. To the audience, thank you very much for listening today. Please join us next week, Monday, August 16th at 2 p.m., when our guest will be Linda Burhans, the author of Good Night and God Bless. And please remember to register for the Care Diary and sign up for our newsletter. It ecarediary.com. That's ecarediary.com. Thank you. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week.